Well, welcome back to the Relaunch Podcast. And it's one of those days that you wake up and you just know something incredible is going to happen. And that bit of incredibleness is happening right now on this show. And the reason being is that I have the privilege right now of bringing to you a gentleman that I have now been in the room with many times and have interviewed him, but I have not had him on the podcast, and it is finally happening. And I kept asking, and he is here, and he has so much wisdom, so much of life's experiences to bring you so that, again, what are we trying to go for? We're trying to have that little glimpse into sanity, into trying to make your days a little better. And his honesty is going to get you right in the heart like it did for me. And he's got some pretty incredible, like jaw-dropping stories. And you know, I like those kinds of stories. So today I have the pleasure and privilege to have Sir James Gray Robinson, Esquire. He is a third generation trial attorney who specialized in family law and civil litigation for 27 years. And then he ended up burning out, and Sir James quit it all and has spent the last 20 years doing extensive research and innovative training to help others facing burnout and personal crisis to actually be able to heal. He's taught wellness, transformation, mindfulness internationally. You talk about like the who's of the who to thousands of private clients and businesses, associations. He's focused on helping lawyers, professionals, entrepreneurs, employers, parents, when you're facing stress, anxiety, addiction, depression, exhaustion, and burnout, this is the guy to call. Sir James is a highly respected, he's not only, like we're going to hear today, a speaker. He writes. He's a TV personality, mentor, consultant, mastermind, movie producer. And yes, I'm going to share with you, he's going to talk all about his new movie that is so unbelievably out of this world. And he is a spiritual leader, healer, who is committed to healing not just one individual, but the planet. And he possesses over 30 certifications and degrees in law, healing, coaching, as well as hundreds of hours of post-certification training in the fields of neuroscience, which you know, I am a neurojunkie, neurobiology, neuroplasticity, epigenetics, mind, body, spirit, medicine, brain, heart, integration. I know you're all thinking, there she goes, 3HQ. You got it, head, heart, highest self. We will go there. This is what I am really excited for you to hear, because this is not a guy who has nine lives. He's already had five near-death experiences that have given him a deeper connection with the divinity, understanding so much more about spiritual energy. And so we're going to jam out on that. We're going to talk about, both of us have had these near-death experiences. Mine is, I've only had one. I feel like I'm junior in regard. And then, in recognition of his outstanding work and philanthropy, Sir James was recently knighted by the Royal Order of Constantine the Great and St. Helen. He recently received the 2024 International Impact Book Award and the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award from President Joe Biden himself. So we're going to talk all about how you can go to his website, jamesgrayrobinson.com. We're going to talk about how you can actually transform.
You're listening to the Relaunch Podcast with your host, Hillary DeCesar, best-selling author, TV host, speaker, and 23 years as a neuro-business performance coach. She will merge modern personal development, up-to-date neuroscience, and ancient wisdom with a twist, while using her one and only 3HQ method. Get ready to be empowered in your journey of self-reinvention and ignite your professional dreams. Each episode unfolds inspiring stories of remarkable relaunches, revealing the tips and secrets behind them. Join us in these conversations, offering you the insights and tools needed for your own extraordinary relaunch.
Sir James is in the house. Welcome.
I don't know if I can follow that.
I swear, I tried to cut this down and there was just too much goodness. I'm like, I kept going and I'm like, I can't cut that out. You have just done so much. And Sir James, I want people to learn more about you. And I always like to start with, what would you say is the most significant relaunch? And you've had so many, but what would be the most significant relaunches that you've had to date?
Well, when in 2004, after 27 years of practicing law, I had a good old-fashioned nervous breakdown. We didn't call it burnout back then. It was, I just got to the point I couldn't go to the office. I didn't want to talk to my clients. I didn't want to see anybody. I just holed up in my bedroom and said, I'm not coming out. But the reality sometimes intrudes into that kind of nonsense. And I eventually came out of my bedroom and realized the fact that I didn't have the tools to deal with the stresses that lawyers face. And because I really, back then being 20 years ago, there really wasn't a lot of research or understanding about what happens when people have to face stress on a daily basis. We were just starting to understand what PTSD is. We were just starting to understand what trauma does to the emotionally and mental bodies, and we really didn't understand how to manage stress. And if you go back and do any research at all, you'll see that it was about 20 years ago that the neuroscientists started taking an interest in the effects of stress on our life and realized that how detrimental it was to our health, and that people just didn't, there weren't anything, any tools, any techniques, there weren't any practices that people could do to really deal with it. It was kind of like a white knuckle thing. And that people who burned out like I did were somehow defective. They were weak-willed, or they were ignorant, or there was just something that they weren't doing that normal, healthy people could do and avoid that. But as I found out in 20 years of research and training and education that, in fact, people who burn out are doing it right, in the sense that that's the body's way of protecting itself from the toxic environment that stress creates and wears out your body. So what happens when you burn out is your body clicks at circuit breaker and you just decide you can't do it anymore.
What were some of the symptoms that you had when you finally said, hey, yeah, I'm having a breakdown. I can't keep going anymore, that I can't keep doing. You were a high powered attorney. What were you finding? Cause I want people to be able to say, oh my gosh, I'm getting there, or I'm there now.
Well, there are some well-known symptoms of the effects of stress on the body, because stress activates a part of your brain that's called the sympathetic nervous system, which is part of the autonomic nervous system that regulates your body without any conscious thoughts or intervention by our frontal lobe. It's an ancient part of our brain that runs all of our functions without us having to remember to breathe. We don't tell ourselves to breathe. We don't tell ourselves to digest. We don't have to remember to do those things. We do them automatically. But as part of the evolution of the brain, we developed this sympathetic nervous system, which is our fight or flight syndrome. And what that means is that when the brain perceives threat or danger or stress, it automatically starts pumping adrenaline and cortisol into your body, which makes it stronger and faster. So you can fight or you can run away and survive. It was the people that developed this ability to do that that survived. Mm-hmm. The people that didn't have this ability obviously didn't survive, because when they were surprised or they were attacked, they would not know what to do. And so there goes Johnny. But the ones that survived, we developed this brain function that actually keeps us alive. And that's what the sympathetic nervous system does. But it's only supposed to be activated for short periods of time, like enough time to run away or enough time to defend yourself. When we conquered the world, when the humans took over the world and we eradicated most of the predators, for a large part, our brain didn't keep up with that. And so we replaced the lions and tigers and bears with mortgage payments and kids and financial stress and horrible bosses and, you know, impossible businesses and business failures and all that kind of thing. And so we react just as if there was a velociraptor, a predator dinosaur staring us right in the eyes when we have an angry client. Our brain does exactly the same thing. And so what happens is we get flooded with this adrenaline cortisol. And if we do that day after day after day after day, it literally wears our body out. Our adrenals wear out. People may have heard of adrenal failure. It just
adrenal fatigue. Absolutely.
Exactly. And so what happens, the symptoms of long-term sympathetic nervous system activation are pretty predictable. One is, and that includes cortisol. And if you know anything about cortisol, it's really good for very short periods of time, but it's very destructive to your body over the long periods of time. And so it has all kinds of really bad effects on your health. When you are exposed to adrenaline and cortisol for years and years and years, what happens is you get depressed. You get a brain fog. You can't think clearly. You are angry a lot of times. You can't control your emotions. You gain weight. Or you can't lose weight. And many times cortisol causes us to trap fat in our bodies. And
this sounds a lot like menopause. No, I'm kidding.
Well, it does have some similarities.
Goodness sakes, is this something that men get too? Okay.
Well, burnout, absolutely.
Yeah, no. I hear you. And what I find fascinating about it, when you said burnout, You're doing it right. Yeah. Can you further explain, what do you mean by that statement?
Because your body is designed to keep you alive. And if we didn't have this burnout switch, we would end up with our health would deteriorate to the point that we couldn't live anymore.
You'd run yourself right into the ground.
Exactly. And so you'd have a heart attack, or you would have a stroke, or any of those life-threatening events that are caused by too much adrenaline and too much cortisol. So in my case, everything just shut down. I literally could not think. I just was sitting there, had feelings of guilt and shame and anger and grief. It's just all of these emotions were just flooding through my body, and my frontal lobe just wouldn't work at all. And so after I finally calmed down enough to where I could get dressed and go out. It was obvious to me that I either had to have a big change in my
You had to have a relaunch. You had to do a
exactly,
massive relaunch.
Or I had to quit.
Right.
I talked to my partners about changing some things in my law practice. They were adamantly opposed to that. They didn't, I was so successful, they didn't want me to change anything. They just said, go see a psychiatrist, which I did, but it didn't help because talk therapy doesn't help stress. It just, because actually they're involving two different areas of the brain. So talking about stress is not the same thing as dealing with stress from a neuroscience standpoint. And so what happened was, is that I just had to quit.
So Sir James, I want to ask you about that though, because you realize that things at the office weren't going to change. So we're talking 20 years ago. And as you opened up with the comments, people didn't talk about any of this. This was hush, hush. I'm not going to do this. And here you're about to walk away from this, you know, high velocity type of lawyer and job. And you've been doing it for a while. And yet you knew that there was something you had to do. What all of a sudden made you realize that kind of this idea of self actualization and self improvement was an area that you wanted to go into?
I'll start my answer with the observation that I never wanted to be a lawyer. That was what my parents wanted me to do.
Yeah, we've had a few of those where they come on and they're like, oh, I really didn't want to do this, but I did it for dot, dot, dot. Yep.
And so it was more of an effort to receive my parents' love because whenever I told them what I wanted to be doing, they were freaked out and wouldn't hear of it. And
what did you say?
I wanted to be a outward bound counselor, which is an outdoor teenage therapy for at-risk teenagers who are acting out.
Wow.
And so it, basically what they take them out into nature and they spend as much time as it takes for these kids to start getting a better sense of self and to understand that they deserve a life too, and deal with the anger issues that they're struggling with.
Yeah.
Because when you're out in nature, you're in a perfect environment to come to grips with yourself, especially if it's a no frills kind of thing where you're camping on the ground, you're eating one kind of food the whole time and there's absolutely no telephones. I can remember that I actually had to send both of my sons to Outward Bound programs. And they were telling me stories about how these kids would show up and they'd want to be taken into town for a hamburger or something. And they were very rudely awakened by the fact that that wasn't going to happen. But it's a very successful way to have an intervention with kids who are misbehaving. And
I think it's like the epitome of change the state, right? You talk about change the state. But I do want to ask you, I had the privilege and have had you on Wake Up with Marcy and Hillary with me a few times and have loved every single conversation that we've had. And I love the before the camera starts rolling and I love the after. But one of the shows we did, you talked about near-death experiences. And I immediately said, yeah, I've had one. And you said, well, I've had five. And then we started talking about it on the show. And I remember we barely got through all, four of them. And I'm like, there's so much more. And I thought, I need to bring you on the show to talk about your near-death experiences and how they relate to kind of this awakening that you had 20 years ago. So do you mind walking us through exactly what's happened to you over your lifetime so far with these five? Because I'm like, you can't be a cat. You can't do it. We can't have any more of these. That you've had enough. You've had enough relaunches. But share with us what actually happened.
Well, the first was when I was about 8 years old, and I was running barefooted, and I stepped on a garden hoe that was pointing up, and the hoe went impaled my foot, and I stepped on it hard enough that it swung the handle up, and it hit me right between the eyes. And it was so long ago, I can't remember all the details. I do know I had an out-of-body experience where I was watching everybody freaking out, and, you know, the paramedics and all that showed up and resuscitated me and all that stuff. And then I went back in my body.
You know, so when you had this out-of-body experience, you know, we often hear about lights and about images. What happened to you, if anything, or was it just that you were looking down on yourself?
I was just looking down on myself. There were voices. I heard voices telling me it's okay. You know, you're not going anywhere. Nothing to be afraid of. The thing I remember was there was no pain. There was no fear. It was just kind of like, I'm sitting there lying on the ground with a hoe through my foot, and all these people are trying to make me breathe. But, and there was blood all over, but it was, more of a curiosity than anything else. I just didn't really think much of it. Then I went back into my body and didn't even tell anybody that it happened. I just really didn't know enough to know that anything really special had happened. Mm-hmm. I just remember the feelings of feeling very safe and very supported and very loved.
And then what happened the next time?
The second time I was a freshman in college, and I fell off a dorm. I landed on a brick wall. It basically took the left side of my rib cage out and took about half of my face off. That one was a little messier. I had an out of body. As I like to explain, my soul bounced higher than my body did, because I was looking down on it. All the medical people there, they were trying to put me back together.
Yeah.
They finally got me to the local infirmary, where they basically just sedated me. And all the time I was just floating along with this, watching it. Again, having a feeling of it was very calm. It was no pain. I felt very safe. Mm-hmm. I was just going, wow, this is pretty cool. I didn't have, the tunnel or the heaven scenario or anything like that. It's just, I was talking to voices. Voices were reassuring me, everything's going to be all right. You're not done yet.
So I have to ask you, you've had voices now twice. Have you had voices any other time? I know we're going to get into the other three experiences, but between when you were 8 and this happening when you were a freshman, did you have other voices? Like, were you like kind of hearing? Because sometimes you get heightened. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I've constantly had these voices in my head that were telling me, watch out for this. This person's good. That person's stay away from.
So a heightened level of intuition.
Like yes. That. And also, it's kind of like, I also knew that a lot of my experiences weren't normal in my childhood, because it was like I had a very authoritarian parents that were very handed out discipline left and right. Mm-hmm. And it was something was just telling me that this was not normal. And that everybody was telling me that I had great parents and that I had a wonderful life and all this stuff. And, all the while I was developing PTSD from the trauma that I was experiencing during my childhood. And, I just was going, this can't be right. This can't be normal.
But as a young child, you just don't know what is right at that point.
Exactly. I mean, you think that that's what it's supposed to happen.
Right.
But, when I got older and moved out of the house and had my own life experiences and had children, I realized that I had a very traumatic childhood and it left a lasting impression on me. In fact, I was diagnosed with PTSD probably a lot from the abuse, but also probably from the near-death experiences.
Absolutely. So let's keep going with number three. What was that?
Number three would have been a rugby accident where I was running down the field and got to the ball. And when I looked up, a guy ran the top of his head right into the bridge of my nose, drove the septum back into my brain, which normally kills people right off.
Right.
But I survived. And although they had to do extensive reconstructive surgery on my face, and that was 84. So that was, I stayed in the practice of law for another 20 years after that. Then
number four. We've got 8-year-old, that shovel thing hitting you, and we've got the freshman dorm, the rugby accident.
And now then I had two gang related beatings, mainly being in the wrong place at the wrong time. I was hitchhiking through Florida and got picked up by a military person who asked if I needed a place to stay. I said, sure. So he took me back to the base, and I didn't know that he was homosexual, which I found out. And when I protested, him and a lot of his buddies beat me. And, so that was, you know, I was just sitting there floating, watching them attack me. And, again, there was no fear. There was no pain. It was just.
How old were you when that happened?
Well, old enough to know better. Probably in my mid 30s.
Yeah. Wow.
And then the last one, I was in Ireland, and it was on Halloween night, again, being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Did not realize that Halloween night is the most violent night in Ireland, especially in Dublin. They have more assaults, more beatings, more violent crimes that night than probably the rest of the year. Mm. And I was just in the wrong place. I was walking through a park looking at a bunch of bonfires, and somebody came up behind me and said, where are you from? And I said, the States. And he started hitting me in the head with a baseball bat. And so I was out for quite a while, and again, had a out-of-body experience and woke up. I was covered in blood, and I stumbled back to the hotel. And they got me medical help. And, you know, that one was probably more serious than any other head injuries I've had.
Right.
But that was probably 15 years ago. That was after I quit practicing law. So all of these things had a similar experience in that I was out of my body. I felt safe and secure and loved and supported, and was talking to people who were, or talking to energy beings that knew all about me. They knew what I was doing, and they kept insisting that I had to go back because I wasn't finished yet.
So, James, you took all of these experiences, and you've made some really incredible productions and movies out of them. Can you share with us your most recent, the movies you've created?
Sure.
And tell us more about why you felt so compelled that you had to do that.
I'd love to. The first movie is that we've released. It's on live streaming on a couple of platforms. We're still waiting for Amazon Prime to release it. They've had it for 2 months. I don't know what they're doing, but I hope any day now they're going to let people log on to it from their platform. But it's called Beyond Physical Matter, and it's about quantum energy, and it's about healing. It's about longevity. It's about success. And basically, it talks about this energy that we're all surrounded with and how it's in everything. It's in everything that's solid, everything that's air, everything that's liquid. And we can actually control it with our minds. And the technology that's coming out now, especially in medical science, is actually starting to prove what a lot of metaphysical people have been saying for over 100 years, and that is that, you know, your attitude determines your health. It determines your success. It determines what you perceive, and your mind and what's going on in your head actually controls everything that you experience. And you actually are creating everything you experience with your mind.
I watched it and I thought the way you did it, first off, it was beautifully filmed, but the way you did it and the stories, and I want to talk about, you know, some of the people that you got in to come and really discuss their stories was also amazing. But what it did for me, and I've been studying this stuff, as you know, with my dear friend John Asraf for, you know, decades now. And what you did is you broke it down in such simple terms, and it's taken it from the woo of like, oh, you're one of those people, or to all of a sudden you really got the scientific information out there in an easy way, everybody. I mean, that's like the key there. The way you documented this was brilliant. How did you decide to go that route, and how do you take a topic like beyond physical matter and simplify it? How did you even come up with that?
We went to a lot of the same people that were in the movie The Secret that came out about 20 years ago that was so phenomenally successful. We basically asked them to come and tell us what they've learned since they made that movie.
That's such a great idea.
And so there's Marie Diamond, Joe Vitale, and a number of other people that were in The Secret were starring in our movie and discussing the things that they've learned. Also, we have some of the younger guns who are absolutely brilliant scientists that are changing the world as we speak with energy and lights and vibration and clinics and things that are supplementing what modern medicine is doing in order so that we can heal quicker, we can live longer. And because we're starting to find out more and more about the brain and about how the brain functions and about how energy affects our brains, how vibration affects our brains and our bodies. And depending on what you surround yourself with, you can either be very healthy and very successful, or you can be very sick and very stressed out. Because there are a couple of things that I do a lot of neurological research, and they're really finding out some things that confirm what Eastern philosophy and some of these woo-woo alternative medicine practitioners have been preaching for years. And it's, you know, it's all based on science now. It's all confirmed. It's all rational, and people can have some faith that, you know, this isn't made up somewhere. This has actually been proven by science. And
Sir
so,
James, why do you think it's taken so long?
I think that we simply operate on different levels, and our imagination, our intuition, and our creativity have gone, you know, have really made huge strides in the arts and philosophy and literature and movies. And what hasn't kept up is medical science, because the medical science, allopathic medicine, has always been about treating the symptoms. And it hasn't been so much focused on, well, let's heal the cause. And what the neuroscientists are starting to connect the dots, and they're starting to say, your thoughts matter, because your thoughts can either get you into a state of health or can get you into a state of illness. And the problem with allopathic medicine was that they didn't care so much what was making you sick. They wanted you to stop having the symptoms. And so now, with all the research that's coming out, they're starting to see that the cause is more important than the symptoms, and that they need to start focusing on the cause, whether it's an emotional problem or an environmental problem or a cultural problem that is causing us, you know, all of the problems we're having in society today are all cultural. And it's something, it's just like in the Middle East, their problems are thousands and thousands of years old because that's the way their culture has been ever since they started writing down stuff over there. So, you know, whether it's...
So with Beyond Physical Matter, what is the most important point that you want people to take away? And the listeners right now, what can you give them as, you know, hey, this is a first step. This is where you got to start.
Well, the good news and the bad news is the good news is we're incredibly powerful beings who have complete control over everything that happens in our life. The bad news is we're incredibly powerful people who are in control and can determine everything that happens in their life. I mean, one is think of all the possibilities. The other one is taking responsibility for your actions, your thoughts, your emotions. And it is not, because we're not trained to focus on our thinking, we're not trained to focus on the nutrition that goes into our bodies, we're not trained to understand how we treat people has lasting effects on not only us, but them as well. It's this fairly new concept in the last decade or so that we are creating everything we experience. And we knew that a while ago with quantum physics, because they started discovering that whatever you look for, you'll find.
And I love that saying. Absolutely.
And so when we didn't really understand that on a neurological level, that actually is true as well. And there are a number of books that have come out now that start explaining on a molecular level what's happening in our brains that causes us to affect our reality. And it's not only just perception, it's also actually affecting the physical world around us.
Completely.
So it's, you know, and this isn't some philosopher talking now. This is,
no, this is what
neuroscientists.
And I love that you're bringing these people together, and your mission is around, I mean, making it as simple for people to understand, putting the research behind it. It is so brilliant. And I'm looking at the time, I'm like, I cannot believe that was already 30 plus minutes. So what I would love is tell us where people can watch Beyond Physical Matter, where they can find you, follow you, hear more about all of these great things that you're coming up with in the neuroscience world. Where do they go?
Well, easiest thing is just email me at james@jamesgrayrobinson.com. Any day now, I'll be able to say, just go to Amazon Prime and or Prime Video, and it'll be up and running. I'm at the mercy of the programmers, but
I was thinking, where did I see it? But you're right. You sent me a copy, so at least I could know about it before I interviewed you with Marcy. So
there is a platform that it's on called Sanjit. It's an Asian platform.
Yeah.
But the link is like 30 characters long, and I can't recite it off the top of my head.
Well,
but
I think
if you email me, I will send you that link.
And I think that everyone, if they aren't going to email, which you are so generous to give that, we'll put that in the show notes, but put that down, keep looking for it, Beyond Physical Matter. I thought it was so great. I had my husband e-watch it. I mean, I was like, this is so cool. Well, Sir James, a privilege to have you on the Relaunch Podcast, and thank you. I know you have so many other things going on, and I'm excited to have you back so that we can talk more about all of the great things that you're uncovering in this field. And so thank you again. And everyone, when you hear something like this and it sparks something, ignites you, that you want to follow up, that you're like, there's something more here, don't let that pass you by. And as you heard Sir James talk about, he had five near-death experiences. You know what? Our life is so precious, and it's not about waiting on what's to come. It's about making it happen now. So please reach out to Sir James, visit all of the show notes, hear more about this. And as I always say, live now, love now, relaunch now into the best version of you. And we will see you again next week. Thanks, everybody.
All right, that's a wrap for today's episode of the Relaunch Podcast. If you felt a spark, a shift, or a little nudge from our show today, why not leave a 5-star review on iTunes? It helps us spread the word, so please share this episode with someone who could use that same spark. Make sure to check out therelaunch.com/podcast for the goodies from today's episode. And remember this, right now is your golden opportunity to shift and relaunch into the life you've always imagined. Let's continue to build our own powerful stories of resilience and reinvention. Until next time, ready, set, relaunch.